Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We'll continue our series of Grow Up, Follower of Christ. Today we'll be looking at, are you longing or craving Christ and His Word? Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study.
And you see, one of the things I was looking at this past week is we see different situations that are happening throughout churches, and what they do is they long for the crowd. They long to entertain. They long to be popular, to be a celebrity. And I've talked to y'all about this before, and y'all know that it's happened, and sadly, one of the things that we know is, you know, when you think about James Rivers Church and the men's conference that went on, they longed to entertain. They longed to have monster trucks. What that has to do with the Bible, I have no idea. They longed to have a boxing match, and then they longed to have an ex-male stripper on a pole doing a dance. Even though he's a believer, probably not the best way to have him. Just have him share his testimony, right? And then here's the problem. John Lindell, the pastor of the church, went and did a 40-minute rebuke that Tuesday on Mark Driscoll. I don't really have skin in the game, don't care. Somebody at the church should have waved the red flag long before Mark Driscoll waved the red flag. And sadly, what we saw happen is he rebuked Mark Driscoll for 40 minutes. Now, public rebuke, I don't have an issue with if you're doing it, but I have an issue with it when you have pride of life and you lust for the flesh, because what he did is he went and advertised it. So he went on YouTube and he paid for advertisement of the public rebuke. He's longing for the things of the world. This is a man of God, a pastor. So it tells you even pastors make mistakes. I want you to understand something. When we strive to do things that go against the Word of God, and we try to come up with these church programs and this entertainment stuff, listen to what Pastor Chuck Smith said about this. He says, striving to gain doesn't just mean buying into the latest church growth program to come down the line. It also happened in the hyped up spiritual environment, where church growth is created by the spiritual and emotional excitement and the hyping of the gifts of the Spirit. Again, you've got a very difficult kind of situation, because if you use the spiritual hype to attract and draw your crowd, you've started down a one-way street that only gets more difficult as you go. So if you do a 70s week or an 80s week for your children's ministry, what are you going to do the next week? You're going down a one-way street. Just teach them the Word of God as kids' church, right? And so you see, if you appeal to people through their supernatural and spectacular, and if that's a big forte, then you have to continue together for more exotic spiritual experience to hold the crowd that you have drawn through this kind of phenomenon. And so he's telling you that you cannot continue to keep doing this. And the church does this, and they start longing for the things of the world, the church programs, and they start craving these things, and it ruins, because you're on a one-way street. What are you going to do next week? You brought in monster trucks. What's next? You going to launch a rocket or what? I mean, how do you just teach them the Word of God? Just teach them the Word of God. I understand you got VBS and all that, but how do you do that if you keep doing that hype every week? What does VBS become? You do a circus VBS, you have to bring in real lions? Or man, what are you going to do? You can't keep doing that. So we have to remember, as we crave, not only in our personal life, the church can crave the wrong things too. That's why the Word of God is the emphasis for Calvary Chapel. We teach the Word. That's it. You go, well, man, I don't get the beautiful entertainment and all the... We teach the Word. It's about God. It ain't about us. And church has gotten away from that. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." We should... and I love Psalm 42, verse 1. "As the deer pants for the water brooks, my soul pants for you, God." We should, as that deer is in the desert, panting, desiring water, all he wants is God. All she wants is God. That's it. "I just want your Word. I just want to be with you. I'm caught up in your presence." What else do you need? But how does a believer increase their desire for the truth of God's Word? Well, we need to remember its life source. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "But the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." And Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. Pam, if I go too quick, just let me know. I'm sorry. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from the heaven and do not return there, but the water... the earth, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall exceed in the thing for which I sent it." I don't have to do anything. I just have to teach the word. The word does not return void. That's it. It's not Pastor Mike that transforms any life. It's the Word of God, because it's eternal. It's living. It's abiding. It doesn't return void. In John 15:3, it says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit of the joints and of the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." So you need to be in the Word. The other thing that you need to do, if you're longing for the things of Christ, you need to repent of your sin. This is one of the things that we just keep hurting each other. All malice, all slander, all those things that he said to get rid of. He's like, you need to repent of that stuff. Are we craving the things of God? Are we craving and longing for the Lord? And Moses recounts when the Israelites were craving meat in Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6. It says, "Now the rabble that was among them had strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." It cost them everything. Hello. It cost them everything. They were enslaved. But they were looking back at the things of the world, and at the same time not being happy with the things that God has provided with them. God's providing the manna, right? But we're not happy. Oh, it costs nothing. You keep chasing the sin in the world, it costs everything. God gets angry with them. He gives them the craving that they want. They get meat coming out of their noses and their mouths, and they I can guarantee you they never ate it again. Gluttony. But we have sexual craving that we have too, a longing that happens with that. We talk about the Ten Commandments as it talks about adultery and coveting another person's wife or spouse in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. But we know that David with Bathsheba did exactly that. He longed for Bathsheba. And the longing for where he was supposed to be at war. And this is very important for men. You need to be busy doing the things that God's called you to do. When you're idle, that's when you get in the most trouble. You start staring off into the distance, or you start pulling your phone out and you start searching in the distance. Don't do that. Because David's sin not only impregnated her, he had the husband killed, ends up losing the son, so his sin cost him very dearly. Just because of that one longing, that one look. Maybe you're longing for money or wealth. Maybe you're longing for the days 4 years ago when your mortgages were cheaper and the groceries were cheaper. But yet God's providing for you. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through that craving, that longing, that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." He's like, look, some of y'all start chasing money, and it'll pull you right away from God because it becomes your God. Wealth is not always the answer. Titles are not always the answer. More money is not always the answer. It can cost your marriage. It can cost your family. It can create divorce because you're chasing that wealth. I need that extra $100,000. I need that extra $50,000. I need that title because I'll get this. At what cost? At what cost? Some of you crave controversy, right? Or you long for controversy. You long to be in the middle of chaos. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "He puffed up with conceit and understanding nothing. He was unhealthy, craving, longing controversy. And for quarrels about words, which produces envy, dissension, slander, and evil suspicions." And there is the relational sin that you see, right? Because they craved controversy. And they created all these extra sins. And so when we look at our lives, it's like, are you longing for the things that go against God? Are you longing for sin? He tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Part of us, as we long for the things of God, is we should long to spiritually grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of your Father, of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." And we have to ask ourselves, as we long for the things of God, do we long to pray? One of the things that you should be longing for is prayer. Craving is prayer. Praying the Psalms. You don't know what to pray? Pray the Psalms. The best thing that you can do is pray Scripture. Start it with prayer. If you, like, see, sometimes what we do is I got to close my eyes and I'm going to pray. I can't remember Scripture. Read it. Your eyes can be open. Right? So like Psalm 63:1, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in the dry and weary land where there is no water." Like, Lord, right now I feel dry. And it tells me right here in Scripture that there, my soul thirsts, and I can come to you and you'll give me the living water to overflow out of me. That's how you just start praying. You got Psalm 84:10 or 84:2. "My soul long, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." He's like, I'm longing for you, Lord, but I'm struggling with where everything's at. But I'm going to sing joy because you're the living God and you're my God. You're my Abba Father. And I know you're going to show up. And let me tell you something. When you're praying for a miracle, man, pray the Psalms. Pray the Psalms. And understand, like, it's, you know, even as we think about the Word of God, you read, we're going to spend a lot of time in Psalm 119 next week as we talk about the pure spiritual milk. But, you know, it's in Psalm 119:20, it says, "My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times." I bet you won't pray that one. Like, Lord, I just want to be obedient to you at all times. He's going to give you every moment to be disobedient. Psalm 119:81, "My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word." In Psalm 143, verse 6, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts, for you are like parched land. We know that we can come and pray the Psalms, but we should be longing to pray. You should be longing to seek the King of Kings. If He is the living and abiding Word of God, the Logos, do you long to seek the King of Kings? Do you crave to be with the King of Kings? It's not a king of fame or a king of this world. It's to understand that in Psalm 22, verses 27 through 28, it says, "And all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you, for the kingship belongs to you, to the Lord, and He rules over the nations." It's like, do you long for His second coming? Or do you go, no, I want to stay here as long as I can, because you like your life. I kind of have a nice house. I finally got the furniture I wanted, right? But do you long, come on. I would rather my grandkids grow up in heaven than be in this world, right? But do you long for the King of Kings? Do you long for the second coming of Christ? Do you long for His rule, where every knee will bow and every tongue confess the name of Jesus Christ? It tells us in Revelation 5:9, it says that this is not a maybe. The gospel of your name, your Son, your salvation will reach the nations. He will gather His sheep, not the goats. He will build His church. He's the only one worthy to take the scroll. In Revelation 11:15, it says the seventh angel blew the trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. He shall reign forever and ever." You see, when we're longing the things of the world, we have the haughtiness of man in Isaiah 2:17, "And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of man shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." Like, don't worry about, like, remember what we talked about this past Wednesday night? We talked about, it's not our job to judge the world. Look, they know who God is, okay? They have Google, right? Most people, if you ask them if they know Jesus, they know Jesus. They've chosen not to follow Him. And the haughtiness of man will be dealt with. It tells us not to judge the world, but to judge what? The church. The people within the church. To remove the evil from within the church. We need to focus on the things that God has put in our lives. Do you long and crave for the King of Kings? Do you long for His second coming? Do you long for His word? And do you long to walk by faith? In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Because we walk by faith and not by sight, in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." God blesses those that are hungry, hunger for thirst and justice. But do we have that hunger for Jesus? Do you have the hunger for, I don't have time for the word today, but I have time to watch the NFL all summer or all, like I got the NFL draft. I got to see all 4 days, right? Or you have your favorite show, Yellowstone, or whatever it is that you watch, and you're like, man, I can't wait for the season. I'm going to binge watch the whole thing when it comes out. Like, you have a longing for the things of this world, but do you have a longing for the things of the Word? And as you take these steps of faith, are you willing to take the step of faith not knowing how it's all going to end? Are you willing to take a step of faith and plant a church and end up in a, man, we've gone from a little building to a VFW to a Harley shop. And none of it has anything to do with a building. It's the church. It's the body of Christ. And if the world crumbled today, I would give more hope with you, because you've been through the trials and the tribulations of what it is to walk like the early church walks. To have victory when a cross is put on top of a building. To be here early to put seats are wet. So nobody sits in a wet seat, right? Do we have Wi-Fi? All the stuff that we do, and you go, man, this is crazy. But we walk by faith, not by sight. I thought for the first year it would be just one person, my wife. Because when we left, we moved to a place we knew nobody. Divine, we knew nobody. We didn't have like, oh, where there's a family that we know. We knew nobody. It was in the middle of COVID. We walked by faith, not by sight, because we longed for the things of God. I knew this is what God had called me to do, and I longed for it. I craved it. Now, mistakes, oh man, learn as you go, but keep walking. Don't stop walking. And let me tell you something. If you're going to walk by faith, you need to long to have wise counsel around you. You need people around you that are godly, that will call you out on your stuff, right? Do you have somebody like that in your life? Not that they just like calling stuff out on you, but I'm just saying, hey, brother, man, I'm worried about you. You all right? Right? You need that. We all need godly wisdom, discernment, and counsel. And discipleship is all of that. So if we long for the pure spiritual milk, and we've gone from pure spiritual milk to eating solid food, we should be willing to be there to pray, counsel, disciple, give discernment, rebuke, reproof, all those things. Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in the abundance of counselors, there is safety. If we're going to live by God's word and pursue Christ, we need to pursue the way of God and pursue his promises. And sometimes we need help with that. Have you ever, just think about just, and we'll close it up here, but if you ever thought about just in your own life that one moment where somebody gave you some godly wisdom, you were just like, wow. And it just changed the direction of everything. Aren't you glad God put that person in your life to give you godly counsel? You need to long to have godly counsel. But you know what your greatest godly counsel is? The Word of God. If you're not in it, I don't know how you're being guided, right? Like before the Waze app and Google Maps and all that stuff, men just, we'll figure it out. You get these guys, and I'm just as bad. We get instructions. We got parts everywhere. Well, we don't need those. We don't follow the instructions. You have God's word, long for it. If you've been walking with Christ for 15, 20 years and you're still on the bottle, you need to get serious about being in the Word of God. So what's your application? Start craving the things of Christ. Are you craving? Are you longing for the things of Christ? Are you longing for his word? Just like you'll long for a sandwich this afternoon. And I that's your application. When you get hungry this evening, ask yourself, am I longing for the Word of God the same way? Because you'll long for that steak, that ribeye, but do you long for the Word of God the same way? Discipleship. Are you discipling somebody? And is somebody discipling you? Because if you're off the spiritual milk, you're no longer on the bottle, you're no longer a newborn infant, are you helping give godly counsel, wisdom, and discernment to somebody who's a new believer or somebody who's new to the faith? Those are things that we have to think about. We will get into the pure spiritual milk next week. We're going to spend the whole study on the Word of God, on the pure spiritual milk. Those three little words. That's it. We're not rushing through this. The reason why is you will not grow if you do not do these things that Peter is telling you. You're not going to be able to love one another if you don't put those sins away. And you're not going to be able to grow and mature in Christ if you do not get into the pure spiritual milk. If you don't get into it, you're just going to stay a baby. And let me tell you, there are some... One of the things I want to do, but I know it would be a bad thing, but that's just my flesh. I can't do it, is to have a six-pack of bottles and walk around the church and go, here, you're still on the bottle, bro, or you're still on the bottle, because you're still on the bottle. You're not growing. Grow. You have Christ. You have the Holy Spirit empowering you. Grow. You can have as much God as you want. It's up to you. You can have the hose in the back. And yes, I'm Gen X, so we used to drink from the hose because we were not allowed in the house. So people were, I think I saw a TikTok. Well, why don't you, y'all had the sink. I was like, bro, they didn't let us in the house. We stayed outside all day till the light turned off, and then we knew we had to be home. Or you can have the fire hydrant. How much of God do you want? It's on you. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. How much of Christ do you long for? That's the thing you have to answer for yourself.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.